Welcome to College Football Truth Day. I'm Riley Ruby from Chicago Sports Network.
And I'm Lincoln Stevens from American Football Network.
We hope that you will be following us all throughout the season as we pick the winners of the major college football matchups. Make sure you check out our YouTube channels and follow us on our podcast to make sure that you never miss another episode of College Football Truth Day.
Make sure you're following along. We really appreciate all of you guys' support. We'll take a quick ad break and we'll be right back with all the action. What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to College Football Truth Day. Today we start bringing to you today, we're going through our big three. We have for you Clemson at NC State, Notre Dame at Wisconsin, but that game is being played at Soldier Field in Chicago. And we have Texas A&M at Arkansas, but that game is being played in Arlington, I believe, at AT&T Stadium. So this should be a good game. All these three should be good games. The first game, Clemson at NC State, could potentially be a blow. Clemson's offense is playing right now. I don't really see that. And the other two games should be very close, to say the least, and should be hard fought. Maybe Arkansas A&M goes a long way just with or is a close game just with those two teams in the past playing very close. But I think it'll be a closer game than many expect. Thoughts on the Chicago Sports Network?
So, I think these should be really interesting games, with Clemson NC State being an interesting one only because Clemson really struggled against Georgia Tech to move the ball offensively. Obviously, they struggled against Georgia. So this should be an interesting game. NC State having a lot more offensive weapons than Georgia Tech. The Notre Dame-Wisconsin game should be really interesting. Mostly just because this is one of the few times that Notre Dame has met Wisconsin, and both of these teams are very similar. And obviously you have the battle of the quote-unquote transfer and his replacement, Jack Cohn and Graham Mertz. We'll see how much we see of Tyler Buckner. And then obviously Texas A&M at Arkansas will probably be the other primetime matchup that ESPN uses for College Football Game Day. So these all three should be very interesting matchup, with I think all three being pretty hard fought except for one. I'm not going to say which one until we get to that preview. But let's get started. Do you want to start off with NC State Clemson?
Yeah, we'll start off with them. And one thing real quick, with the Notre Dame Wisconsin game, I could see this as potentially the first game in probably two or three, maybe even three or four years, where Notre Dame, for the first time, doesn't have the better O-line going into the game, which is quite surprising to see because, you know, typically Notre Dame has produced an offensive lineman and put them in the NFL as soon as they finish their junior, sometimes senior year. So that's a little surprising. I do think we're better offensive line, but I do think some of that is with Notre Dame's injuries. I believe Notre Dame is on like their third string left tackle, and I think maybe even their second string right guard. I think I saw. I'm not sure. I'm not 100% on that, but I think this is one of the few times that Notre Dame hasn't come into a game with the better O-line.
So, yeah, so to talk about the Notre Dame offensive line real quickly here.
We might as well just start with that game. We're already in.
Well, yeah. Let's go ahead and start with that one. So Notre Dame at Wisconsin, but it's at Soldier Field, so take that as you may.
And a funny thing is, real quick, in 2026, they will play at Lambeau Field in Wisconsin, and that will be considered a home game for Notre Dame. Doesn't make any sense, but that's how they do it. So, yeah. But what were you saying?
Personally, I'd rather just play it at Camp Randall in Notre Dame Stadium, but whatever. I'm not the AD, but Jack Swarbrick has made sure that we don't play any road games this season, really, especially against tough opponents. I think we have like 8 home games and like 3 true road games. So take that as you may. Either way, left tackle situation, Michael Carmody should be starting. I'm going to look it up right now, and I'm going to say this is Sunday. So I'm looking it up right now, what his official status is. I do not see anything other than I don't see anything, basically, is all I can tell you. Last time I checked, and maybe I, because I did not watch, I will admit, even as a Notre Dame fan, I did not watch the whole Notre Dame game, but I saw a lot of Tosh Baker, who is our third string left tackle. Carmody is out for the Purdue game, like it was said. So it will either be Tosh Baker or Michael Carmody. I would assume Tosh Baker, who is our third string left tackle behind Blake Fisher and Michael Carmody. So there is a little bit of weakness there, but the problem for Wisconsin is I don't know if they can exploit it the same way that a team like Purdue with George Karlaftis could. So they don't have any powerful edge rushers, but they do have a good defensive line generally. And at the right guard position, I don't know of anybody that I'm going to look it up unless if Kane Madden got injured that I did not know of. So, yeah, Kane Madden, just to look it up.
I could be wrong, but I could be wrong, but I did. I thought I saw where somebody on that right side of the Notre Dame offense was injured. I could be wrong about that, though.
Let me look up Josh Lugg real quick because that's a right tackle, and I think he may have been in.
It was Lugg.
Quick, I don't see any injury reports that, yeah, I don't see anything that should bother Notre Dame. The only thing I will say is that there is a possibility that Rocco Spindler comes in for Kane Madden if Kane Madden continues to struggle. That could be an interesting thing. I'm sorry I'm going on a little bit about a tangent here, but this is why we do podcasts and not YouTube videos about this. But generally, Notre Dame's offensive line looked a lot better against Purdue, especially containing George Karlaftis. The run game had some holes in it, but looks improved. Generally, my theme about Notre Dame is when they played Purdue, they looked improved. I know that they did not play well against Toledo and against Florida State, but the thing that I would say for Notre Dame is generally they looked improved, and that I expect them to struggle in this game, but the problem I have for Wisconsin is do they have any offensive firepower? Because Graham Mertz, in my opinion, looks sincerely awful. So, I don't know. I'm going to let you hand it off before I finish out my final notes. Lincoln, what are your thoughts about the Notre Dame-Wisconsin game before I give my final prediction and final thoughts about the game?
Yeah, I think it's going to be a war the entire 60 minutes. I think this is going to be probably the best game of the three. Probably not the most entertaining game, but it's probably going to be the closest game coming down to the wire. I will say that Wisconsin does have a bit of an edge, I would say, coming off the bye week. So they've had time to prepare extra long and get rested up. They did play Penn State pretty close, but Graham Mertz just looked off. I'm not counting that last interception on him because it was, I believe it was third or fourth down. He had to make something happen. And it was a bad throw, but it's kind of like, an arm punt is what some people will call it. In this situation, it wasn't really a punt because a punt did them no good or anything. But it was – you can't blame him for the interception, the last one, because he had to make something. If he didn't throw the ball, it would have been the same exact result regardless. So you can't blame him for that one. But the offense did score 34 points on Eastern Michigan. Obviously, Wisconsin isn't built to score a lot of points. Their leading passers or their leading team leaders right now on the offense, Graham Mertz, 326 yards, no touchdowns. Chesma Lucy, 265 yards on 51 carries and two touchdowns. And Danny Davis, the third, is their leading receiver right now, 129 yards on 11 catches. Wisconsin is averaging 266 rushing yards a game, which isn't too bad, but they're only averaging 22 points a game, which is tied for 184th. in the country, which is not good. And I believe these numbers include FCS. I'm just looking on the ESPN, but their points against, they are, let's see here, 11th in points against. They've allowed 11.5 points a game. And I think that their defense is a very stout defense. I expect, look at the numbers from the Eastern Michigan game, really, because that it's kind of like looking at the game, right? Like, it's kind of like looking at Western Carolina and Oklahoma. You know, that's the teams are clearly uneven, but Wisconsin only allowed 50 rushing yards to Penn State. Noah Kane, 8 carries, 48 yards. And then Sean Clifford, 6 carries for 5 yards, not including sacks. Devin Ford, 1 carry, 1 yard. And Kayvon Lee, 3 carries, minus 4 yards. So they did only run it 18 times, but Clifford only completed 18 passes as well. So he was 18 of 33. So that was half of their offensive plays for the most part. I know they threw it more, but the only times that the only completed positive or completed passes were only 18. So that was about the same. So their run defense is looking decently solid. And Notre Dame, Kyren Williams just hasn't looked all that great this year. He's has 211 yards on 46 carries. He has the 2 touchdowns. They haven't ran the ball particularly well. Looking here at the numbers at Florida State, it'll load for me. At Florida State, Kyren Williams had 42 yards on 18 carries, so not the best of nights for him. That's 2.3 yards a carry. And Chris Tyree, 7 carries for 31 yards. Against Florida State, who has a pretty bad defense, pretty bad team in total, Notre Dame ran the ball 35 times for only 65 yards. That was only about – it was 1.9 yards a carry. So that, and their longest run was for 12 yards. So against a pretty bad Florida State defense. So I'm interested to see here if Wisconsin is going to be able to stop Notre Dame's running attack. I think they have a good chance to. Will they? That's a different story, but I think they have.
So basically, if you're done there,
I'm taking Wisconsin. I think their defense is going to help them out a lot. So what do you think?
So my opinion on this matter is the only thing that I will say is this. I agree that Kyren Williams has struggled, but by no means is it only his fault. In the Florida State game specifically, you were right about us being down to our third string left tackle, our second string left guard, and our second string right tackle. So to be fair, we were playing our second team basically offensive line. So here's the only thing I'll say about that. So basically, here's my opinion on this matter generally is this. I think the biggest problem for Wisconsin is our run defense itself. When you look at Wisconsin's run game against Penn State, and I would not say Penn State has the stoutest defensive line in the country. They have a great defensive line, but I would not say it's the stoutest. Their top two running backs ran for 3.9 and 4.3 yards a carry, which isn't bad, but when you're only running for 4 yards a carry, that's not bad. But it's also where then you have to take in Graham Mertz, negative 26 yards. So you have a little bit of an issue there.
Is some of that on sacks?
It is on sacks completely, but I'm just saying that as far as I know, it's on sacks. I'm looking at Google's thing, so I didn't look up ESPN's, but just I'm making a general point here. And here's the thing that I would say is this. Notre Dame has a very underrated defensive line. Kirk Heinisch, Myron Tagovailoa, Amosa, Isaiah Foskey. Very, very stout defensive line. A little bit underrated by most of the experts. So what I'm going to say is this. I understand Notre Dame looked awful against Toledo and Florida State. And I do not think Florida State's a good team. And to be honest, I think Toledo was a better team than Florida State. But my main issue here is I think a lot of people are underrating Notre Dame's defense. I know Notre Dame's defense did not look good against Florida State, and I know that Notre Dame's defense did not look good against Toledo, but they looked really good against some explosive pieces that Purdue has. They only allowed 13 points, and to be honest, that entire second half and a good chunk of the second quarter, they shut Purdue down like completely. So the only thing that I will say on the defensive end is there is no way that Graham Mertz is going to have a great game, which is what I feel like he needs to have, because when he played Penn State, and I would say Penn State and Notre Dame's defenses are a pretty equal caliber, he went 22 for 37, 185 yards and two interceptions. I understand that the second interception wasn't really his fault particularly, but he also fumbled the ball, if I remember correctly, once or twice.
He did recover those, and they weren't completely on his fault because they were on the snap.
Okay. One
of them, the center snapped it, and he wasn't even looking. So it was actually a great play by him to fall on it. But real quickly, Toledo's running back, Bryant Kobach, had 20 carries for 114 yards, 5.7 yards a carry. And Toledo's offensive line, and I don't even think he is as good as Ches Malusi and this Wisconsin offensive line. So he put up some good numbers. And Corbin, the Florida State running back, had 15 carries, 144 yards, and a touchdown. Purdue doesn't really have a good running back, and they're primarily a passing team. They only ran it, I think, with their top runner 11 times. So I think you're going to have trouble stopping the run, because you've had trouble against Florida State, whose offensive line is one of, if not the worst, in FBS. And Toledo's offensive line isn't, I wouldn't say, a high-caliber offensive line either.
Well, here's the only thing I will say is this. If you're going to take Toledo, I understand the Toledo game was bad and he ran for a decent chunk, but also Purdue does have, I know they don't have a great running back, but I would also say that Toledo doesn't, and I understand that we had a bad game against them, but Notre Dame only allowed 4.5 and 1.8 yards a carry against the top two running backs for Purdue, and if you combine that, I'm pretty sure it's around 3.5. I think Notre Dame allowed about 3.2 yards a carry as a team. Here's the only thing I'm going to say for Notre Dame is this. Offensively, they are so much better than Wisconsin, and they have matchup nightmares. I see nobody on Wisconsin that can possibly cover Michael Mayer. There's nobody on Wisconsin that can possibly cover Michael Mayer. The only way that they stop him is by bracketing him. And here's the problem with that, is Notre Dame is A, finding ways to get him the ball even when he's bracketed. So that's A. And B,
but the defenses you're playing are nowhere near as the level. But the defenses you're playing.
Well, the only thing I would say about that is this. Notre Dame, even though they had some struggles against the defensive line, here's the thing. Purdue has a good defensive line with George Karloftis on that and Milton and stuff like that. So basically what I am saying is this, is I think – here's the thing. I understand Notre Dame played bad against Toledo and Florida State. I've said that 1,000 times. But Notre Dame just has weapons that Wisconsin cannot cover. They just cannot. They have Kevin Austin. They have Braden Lindsey. They have Avery Davis. And I understand that they haven't had great games all the time, but they just don't have guys that can cover these guys. It's just plain and simple. And Kyren Williams is not only a threat in the run game, but also in the pass game. And same goes for Chris Tyree. So here's the problem I have, is Wisconsin just does not have the athletes to cover Notre Dame. I think this will be a close-ish game, but I think Notre Dame will come away with the victory, because I understand Notre Dame struggled, but you can also see a lot of improvements. And also Notre Dame has Kyle Hamilton on the defense, which can get to any ball in the entire field. So I'm going to pick Notre Dame to win this game. I think that they win it by 10 points here. I think they get away With a, I'm looking at like 21, maybe 11 points here, a 21 to 10 victory. I think Notre Dame gets three touchdowns, maybe an 18 to 10 victory. So like in between that point, I think it's going to be a really low scoring game, but I think the Notre Dame defense has the turnover bug within them. And I think that they're able to get away with a win here. At Soldier Field. Is there any final things you want to say, Lincoln, before we head on to the next game or next segment?
One thing I want to say real quick is I do think Wisconsin has a pretty hard cover themselves in Jake Ferguson. Yeah, you can cover him with Kyle Hamilton, but that takes away your best safety from containing guys like Danny Davis from getting over the top. And I do want to say that Wisconsin only surrendered – their secondary's not too bad themselves. They only surrendered 247 yards on 33 pass attempts to Penn State, who I would say probably has a much better passing game than Notre Dame does. They definitely have the better weapon passing-wise than Jahan Dotson. I would say he's a top three or – maybe not top three. He's definitely top five or seven receiver in the country right now. He's just been on a tear lately. And I think Wisconsin's going to be able to stop the passing, or not stop it, but slow it down. By the way, back to Jahan Dotson, he has 20 catches for 245 yards and three touchdowns on the season against some pretty solid defenses as well. But yeah, so I expect Wisconsin to be able to slow down the passing game. I expect them to just run the ball all over Notre Dame, and I expect them to win this game 20-13, 17-10, 17-13, somewhere right in there. I think the max for both teams with these solid defenses is going to be about 20 points. I don't think any team's getting more than that. Excuse me, more than that. I think this is going to be similar to the Penn State-Wisconsin game. And honestly, I could see this game being 0-0 at halftime yet again. But, yeah, so that wraps up this segment. We will be back in just a quick second, and we will go through NC State and NC State, Clemson, and Arkansas, Texas A&M when we return. Thank you guys for listening, and we will see you in a minute.
Hey guys, so instead of a break here, we are going to do a little bit of a sponsorship for my YouTube channel here. So if you are not already subscribed to Chicago Sports Network on YouTube, make sure that you go ahead and do that. Hit that subscribe button on the podcast. Make sure that you are following. Hit the notification bell if there is one on your podcast device. And make sure that you are ready for every single week of College Football Truth Day. It will be coming out either on Mondays or Sundays. So make sure that you are subscribed and ready for that. Get back to the action in 1 second.
Welcome back to College Football Truth Day, everybody. We're going to preview our next two of our three big games. We've already talked about Notre Dame, Wisconsin. I took Wisconsin. Chicago Sports Network took Notre Dame. Now we're going to preview and make our picks for Clemson and NC State. So we'll start out with Clemson and NC State, and then we'll get to A&M and Arkansas. So Clemson, NC State has the potential to be a blowout, but I think it's going to be a closer game, more like the 2016 and 2017 games where they were pretty close. 2016 went into overtime at Clemson. 2017 was a one-possession game with NC State having the ball towards the very end of the game, down one possession. I think it's going to be more like that. I think Clemson could still win, potentially still win by more than just a touchdown or one score, but I still think it's going to be a closer game. Clemson might pull away later in the game, but they could blow them out at the same time. But the way this offense has looked, I don't expect them to blow NC State out. And NC State is a pretty solid team themselves. So what are your thoughts on this game?
So my main thought about NC State Clemson is just how good is that Clemson offensive rushing game going to be? Because, and I say that specifically because I know Dabo does not trust DJ. He doesn't look like he trusts DJ in his at all. Or I guess I should say Tony Elliott, the offensive coordinator, because I assume he's the one that calls plays basically. So obviously Tony Elliott does not trust DJ. The offensive line isn't very good. And the problem that I see here for Clemson, the biggest issue that I see here for them, is that they actually have weapons for NC State. So NC State has some weapons that's something that Georgia Tech doesn't have. And right now, even though Clemson played Georgia tough because of the defense, and the defense, don't get me wrong, is a top 2-3 unit. I would even argue it's number one, maybe Georgia's number one. But the problem that I have here is if NC State gets two touchdowns, I don't know if Clemson can win this game, just because what if they get two touchdowns and then a field goal late or something like that? Because I don't know how much I should trust this Clemson offense, because I don't know. The only thing that I'm going to say after all that, the only thing that I am going to say is this: Clemson simply finds ways to win ball games the same way that Notre Dame does, the same way that Alabama does, and Oklahoma to a degree, and Ohio State. Just great programs find ways to win games. I expect Dabo to use all of the energy that he usually gives whenever people doubt his team. So maybe Dabo uses that energy, something that I expect out of him. But to be honest, the offense looks so weak that I don't know if his energy can fix that. So what are your thoughts before we say our final predictions here, Lincoln?
Looking at the box score for the Mississippi State-NC State game, I'm just going to say this now, and I think you're probably going to agree with me. Clemson has a better secondary than Mississippi State and a better defense overall. And Mississippi State got two picks in that game. Devin Leary did not look very good at all. He only averaged 6.2 yards a pass, which isn't very good. He threw for 303 yards, but that's on 50 pass attempts. So that's not necessarily great numbers considering he threw it 50 times. And Mississippi State's passing game looked really well, and NC State was not able to do anything against that. Like I said, the defense forced two turnovers in that game, both of them picks. Devin Leary threw one, and then Ricky Pearson Jr. threw the other one. I believe he might be a receiver for them or a running back. So I guess technically they only got one off of a quarterback. Yeah, Ricky Pearson Jr. Had 8 carries for 19 yards and 3 catches for 9 yards. So he might be kind of like the Kentucky quarterback, just plays all over the place. But that's besides the point. Their defense looked good. I don't think NC State, I think they score 10 points max. And I think they're going to have to score a little bit more than that to beat Clemson. I think if they get up in the 20-point range, I think it's going to be a struggle if the offense plays like it did. Now, if the offense comes out, if the offense is looking plays good, then NC State is going to get blown out in this game, because they're not scoring, in my opinion, more than 14 points in this game. And that is if they have a great offensive game, I think they could score 14 points. Clemson's defense, like you said, is a top tier defense, one or two, wherever you want to have them, either Georgia or Clemson, whichever one you want to put there, would be the way those defenses are aligned. And quite honestly, Georgia Tech didn't really run the ball well against Clemson at all. They had 106 yards on 39 carries. That would only be 2.7 yards a carry. And passing-wise, Jordan Yates only threw for 203 yards on 33 pass attempts. So I know, like you said, NC State has some better weapons in the passing game, but Georgia Tech definitely has the better runner in Jahmyr Gibbs. He's a good running back. I would have to rank him, but he's definitely top 5 in the ACC for sure. He's a really talented running back. But I'm interested to see what NC State does. I think Clemson's going to come out on the defensive side of the ball just unstoppable. I don't think NC State's going to get any points in the first quarter, I would say. They probably get shut out then just because they're getting going. I think they – and another thing, too, on the defensive side of the ball is Venables is takes pride in his defense, and he hasn't given up a touchdown all year. And so there, that defense and Venables is going to be calling stuff specifically to keep NC State out of the end zone more. They're really going to be trying a lot more to keep them out of the end zone just because it's been three games that they haven't given up a touchdown on defense yet. So I think they're going to take a lot of pride in that. I think Clemson wins. I think the final score is going to be like 27-10, 24-10, somewhere right in there. What do you think?
So the main thing for me is this. This game's going to go one of two ways. It's going to go like 27-10 or 34-10 or something like that. Or worst case scenario for Clemson. And here's the thing. What I mean by worst case scenario is that Clemson will most likely win this game. I'd give them an 85-80% shot. I'd give them an 80-85% shot to win this game. But here's the problem I see. If your offense continues to struggle, that doesn't mean that it was a bad game against Georgia Tech or a hard-fought game against Georgia. That means that there's systemic problems within this Clemson offense. So my question here is, this is a season-defining game. Does Clemson take that leap forward, which I expect them to do, but or do they stay where they are at the moment? I think that this is a big game and a defining game. Personally, I think it's going to be somewhere in the middle. I know that kind of is a cop-out there, but I'm expecting a 20-10 Clemson win-ish, somewhere around there. But I don't expect Clemson to have a great passing attack because I don't think DJ can hit a ball downfield. Clemson doesn't seem to trust him downfield. I don't know. I'm very concerned about this game because nothing at Clemson shows me that this offense is any good. But at the same time, I trust Dabo that he's a great coach and that he can change this. So I don't know. I'm very twisted here. So I'm going to give Clemson the W here, but by no means am I writing this off as a game that is an automatic W and you don't even care to watch it, even if you're a Clemson fan. So I think that this is a must-win game for Clemson, and not only in the sense of the college football playoff that they have to win this game, but this is a game that you have to show offensively that you're good, because if Clemson continues to struggle, which is something that they've shown in the last couple of weeks, they don't have anybody that can probably beat them this year. Maybe Louisville, if Louisville's any good. But other than that, you're looking at a blowout in the playoffs or in a New Year's Six Bowl. And obviously, I don't think Clemson wants that. So I expect Clemson to pull away with the victory, but I don't know whether I'm fully trusting that offense. So why don't we head on to the Arkansas-Texas A&M game. This is a neutral.
Real quickly here, yeah. I know you said you were giving Clemson about an 80% chance to win. According to the ESPN matchup predicting, which goes by their FPI, the Football Power Index, they're giving Clemson a 68.3% chance to win. I do think it's a little bit higher than that, but I see where they're coming from there. Now, I expect it to be a hard-fought game on both sides of the ball. But, yeah, let's go ahead into Texas A&M, Arkansas.
So, basically, what I meant by 80% is I think that there – it's not that – I think of it from a different perspective, and I think of, like – I think there's a fantasy thing where my confidence level on a 1 to 10 scale, 10 being the highest confidence, 8 being a 1 confidence, and lowest confidence. I'm very confident that Clemson will win this game, but I'd give them about a 65%, 70%, like ESPN has them. But like my confidence level is about 80%. That's what I mean by that. But let's get into Arkansas and Texas A&M. So why don't we start off with a little bit of a Texas A&M preview? And the reason why I want to do that is because, A, we haven't talked about Texas A&M all season here on College Football Truth Day. But also, they have a major injury. Lincoln, what do you think about the Hayes King injury? And what do you think about their backup
Unless if they change Zach Calzona.
Yeah, Zach Calzado was the backup. Haynes King fractured his leg, so he's definitely out for this game. There's no way he's coming back. I don't expect Texas A&M to get anything going offensively. I would say Hudson Card, the Texas quarterback, is better than Zach Calzada is, and he couldn't get anything going against the tough Arkansas defense. They only scored 21 points on the night. And I believe most of those were running. And I think the worst news for the Aggies is that Isaiah Spiller is a really good running back for them, but on 41 carries, Texas only got 138 rushing yards. So Arkansas has a really good rushing defense. Bijan Robinson, who I believe is a better running back, one of the top two running backs in the country, with Breece Hall being the other one, only had 19 carries for only 69 yards. So 3.6 yards a carry. That is not good at all. Hudson Card didn't have a passing touchdown in that game either, looking at his stats. And on the other hand, Arkansas ran the ball 47 times for 333 yards against a decent Texas defense. And A&M just hasn't been able to get anything going offensively. They beat Colorado 10-7. Wasn't a great game from the Aggies at all. They did lose Haynes King in the first quarter, which set them back tremendously. But looking at the Colorado game, Colorado does not have any backs, I would say, or anywhere near the level of Arkansas's backs. And they ran for 171 yards on 38 carries, 4.5 yards a carry. And they stopped Texas A&M's rushing attack as well, limiting them to 97 or they stopped A&M's rushing attack, limiting them to 97 yards on 29 carries. So I think the biggest help for the biggest threat by this A&M offense is going to be difficult to get it going, the run game, because Arkansas comes in with a stout defense, especially rushing wise. So I expect this to be a hard-fought game. I expect it to be a war, but I fully expect Arkansas to win this game. I think it's going to be similar to the Texas game, quite honestly. I could see it being a little bit closer, with it being somewhat of a rivalry game, and with it being a neutral side as well, so they don't have quite the home field advantage they would have. But I think it's still going to be a very, very good game, definitely one you don't want to miss.
Okay, so my thoughts and opinions about this game. To start off with Haynes King, I'm sorry. That's just a massive loss. It's just simply massive. This Texas A&M offense has looked pitiful. To put it into a little bit of a perspective here, A&M almost lost to a Colorado team that lost 30-0. I repeat, 30-0 against Minnesota. So here's the thing. I think the defense is not that bad, but here's my problem. This Arkansas team just wears on you. I'm just going to name the running backs that I really like out of this Arkansas team and just name the guys that ran over 50 yards against Texas, because it is quite a few, because they just absolutely steamrolled Texas. They played almost as well against Texas as they did against Georgia Southern. It was just that dominant of performance. They had Traylon Smith for 75 yards, KJ Jefferson, the quarterback, for 73, AJ Green, the freshman, for 67, Raheem Sanders for 50, and Dominique Johnson for 44. To put that into perspective, no guy averaged under 6.2 yards a carry. It is just astounding how good this rushing attack is, and I have a very hard time expecting Texas A&M to be able to stop Arkansas here when the Texas A&M offense just looks pitiful. I personally am not a big Jimbo Fisher fan. I like Mike Elko as defensive coordinator. He has done a really good job there at Texas A&M. but I expect a big time Arkansas win. I'm looking at about 30. I'm going to say it here. 31-10 Arkansas. I'm expecting a big time game and to a degree, a blowout. What's your final prediction here for this Arkansas game? But one thing that I also want to ask you about, Lincoln, what do you think about the upcoming game? If Arkansas wins and wins semi-convincingly, what do you think about the Arkansas game at Georgia the following week?
Yeah, I think, well, first off, let me just say I agree completely with your score prediction. I think it's going to be somewhat of a blowout. And I think the game against Georgia, if Arkansas wins here and wins like we think 31-10, 34-13, somewhere right in there, I think this could potentially be the game day game. If Cincinnati and Notre Dame stay – or Cincinnati doesn't play this week, but if Notre Dame beats Wisconsin, maybe it's that game. But they're not going to have the TV rights to that game, I would assume. So I doubt they would go to that game when it's going to be on NBC. Now they could. I'm pretty sure they went to Notre Dame Clemson the first time around, and that game was on NBC. But I think they could go to Arkansas, Georgia, and this would be a really good game.
A quick thing for that is CBS would have those rights. They get to pick the primetime game.
No, I was talking about for Notre Dame Cincinnati.
Oh, NBC has the Notre Dame Cincinnati game, and yeah. CBS would have the rights to the SEC game.
That's true. I didn't even think about that. So I guess it would just depend on which game they felt was going to be better, which one they felt the crowds were going to show up the most for. But Georgia, the one thing that would concern me is Georgia is only allowing 70 rushing yards a game. Now, granted, they have played South Carolina, UAB, and Clemson. And that Clemson team only ran the ball 9 times with their running backs. And DJ only had, I believe, like 2 actual carries. The other ones, I know he scrambled once on like a bobbled snap that he was just trying to get anything out of. And then a lot of those yards were in sacks as well. So they're only allowing about 70 rushing yards a game. So that would concern me a little bit. But I still think that Arkansas, their run offensive line and their running backs are going to be the best Georgia has faced. Well, maybe not their running back, because I do love Kevin Harris from South Carolina. But for the most part, Arkansas will definitely be the best rushing game that Georgia's seen. So I think it's going to be a heck of a game. But that'll wrap up our big three games. Once again, we did Notre Dame at Wisconsin. That game's being played in Chicago, of course, at Soldier Field. I took Wisconsin. Chicago Sports Network took Notre Dame. We previewed Clemson at NC State. We both took Clemson in that game. And we previewed Texas A&M at Arkansas, which is actually going to be played in Arlington, Texas, I believe, at AT&T Stadium. And we both took Arkansas for that one. So we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with the rest of our games in this Pick'em contest. Don't go anywhere. What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to College Football Truth Day. We're now moving on to our next and final segment of the show. We're doing our pick'em for the 20 matchups. So last week, we both went 11-9. We pretty much picked the same. We only difference was I took Miami, CSN took Michigan State. I took West Virginia, CSN took Virginia Tech. I took Kansas State, CSN took Nevada. And I took Boise State, CSN took Oklahoma State. So we both finished at 11-9, which keeps us tied. We are both 33-27 going into week 4, 5 or 6 games above 500. So we're looking pretty good right now. So let's go ahead and get in on with it. So our first pick'em game is Marshall at App State. Who are you taking in this game and why?
So I'm going to take App State here. To be completely honest with you, my main thing for taking this game is I kind of just know App State a little bit better, and Chase Bryce is better at quarterback than Marshall's quarterback, and I know App State more, and so far they've looked better in the game or two that I have seen.
Not so
What do you have?
fast, my friend. As Lee Corso would say, Grant Wells, the Marshall quarterback, is better than Chase Bryce. He's actually fourth or fifth on the NCAA passing leader, so he's doing good. But I am going to agree with your pick. I'm taking App State. One of the main reasons is App State physically dominated East Carolina the entire game and ended up beating them 33-19. And Marshall just lost to East Carolina, and they allowed 41 points to them. So App State, even minus that, App State played Miami close, and Marshall probably would get destroyed if they played Miami. Even though I don't think Miami is that great of a team. But App State has really good running backs, a good run game in total. They have super good receivers as well who can get down the field and get behind your safeties, and they have a stout defense, so I'm taking App State in this one. Our next game, Wake Forest at Virginia, a big ACC matchup. Who are you taking in this one?
So I have the Wake Forest Demon Deacons. So I know this is kind of weird because Virginia did play a pretty decent game against UNC or North Carolina, but Wake Forest, they looked good. They looked really good, especially offensively. So I'm really liking it. I be honest here, I did not see, I think it was Sam Hartman at quarterback. He was their starting quarterback. And yeah, he was their starting quarterback. I just want to make sure because I did not know, I didn't watch that much of the game. I just saw a couple of drives in the first half. But Wake Forest looks really, really good. I know Florida State's not a good team, but they looked really good. And Virginia, I think that they're just going to be a little bit deflated after a 20-point high scoring affair. Against North Carolina. So I think that their defense is going to allow a few more points, and it's a short week with this game being on Friday night. So watch out. This is going to be a fun game on Friday night. I have the Demon Deacons.
I'm taking the Cavaliers in this game. They played a bad game, at least rush defense-wise, against North Carolina. They allowed like 300 or 400 rushing yards. But I expect them to bounce back. I think they're going to be hungry to bounce back. I'm just not sure Wake Forest defense is going to be. Remember, North Carolina has a top 3 or 4 defense in the ACC, especially in that secondary. And Brennan Armstrong absolutely torched them. He threw for like 500-something yards. And that is why he is second on the NCAA passing board. And I just expect West Virginia to come out firing on all cylinders offensively. I don't see Wake Forest with enough offense, especially because Wake Forest does tend to be a better passing team. And North Carolina, I mean, yeah, North Carolina's passing game was pretty much non-existent. Howell barely got over 300 yards passing. And Hartman is nowhere near as good as Howell. And Josh Downs is a much better receiver than any receiver on Wake Forest. So I'm taking Virginia. Moving on to UNLV at Fresno State. Who are you taking in this one?
So I have Fresno State winning this matchup. I just think Fresno State's the better team. UNLV got creamed by Iowa State. Fresno State upset UCLA. I'm going to be honest. I don't know that much about Fresno State, but they just look good. So that's about all I have to say. Sorry, Fresno.
I agree with you. I don't know that much. What I do know, I know I'm throwing out all these passing board numbers, but Fresno State's quarterback, atop of the NCAA passing board with 1,400 or 1,500 passing yards through 3 weeks, you said it. They upset UCLA. They outplayed Oregon and almost upset them at home. They ended up losing by 3. So they're playing really good right now. Meanwhile, UNLV is not. I'm taking the Fresno State Bulldogs, I believe they are. Now on to Nebraska at Michigan State. Who are you taking?
I got the Michigan State Spartans. Let's go, Sparty. I love Kenneth Walker. Give me some more Kenneth Walker. Man, he is. I know he probably won't win it, but he is a Heisman contender, Heisman watch list. Man, he's good. He creamed Miami and Michigan State. They helped me out in beating Miami in the pick'em last week. Let's go, Sparty.
Yeah, I agree. Give me Sparty. Kenneth Walker. I know I keep throwing all these numbers at you guys, but he has 493 rushing yards, the most in college football through just 3 games. So I just think Michigan State comes out and runs the ball all over Nebraska. Kansas State at Oklahoma State. Who are you picking in this game?
I know Oklahoma State got me the W last week, but I don't know if I fully trust Boise State as like a super great program. I got burned by Kansas State last week against Nevada. So I think I'm going to pick the Wildcats here. I'm a little bit of a Chris Kindman fan because he was at North Dakota State. I'm a big FCS fan, especially Missouri Valley. So I'm going to pick the Wildcats to win this one. But I definitely do think that there's a possibility of a Cowboys victory because Kansas State seems to lose games they're not supposed to and win games they're also not supposed to.
Yeah, I agree. I'm taking Kansas State. And you got lucky on that Oklahoma State-Boise State game as well because there was a fumble late in that game. Neither team had scored. Boise State picked it up and should have ran it all the way back. The referee blows the whistle in the middle of the play, even though you're supposed to let the play go all the way out. They review it. I believe they end up saying it wasn't a fumble, or they just called him down where he was and gave Boise State the ball, even though it was pretty clearly a fumble. And ended up, Boise State ended up not getting points at all for the rest of the game, so neither team scored. So Oklahoma State survived one on a bad call. So I just think – and Kansas State's just a better overall team. Moving on to our next game, LSU at Mississippi State. I'm taking LSU in this game. I just expect them to bounce back, especially after the showing they had at Mississippi State last year. They had us all believing that KJ Costello was going to be a Heisman contender after he threw for like 600-something yards and 5 touchdowns. But they get Stingley back this time around, the best corner in the NCAA. And I expect LSU to come out on top. Who are you taking in this game?
I got the LSU Tigers here, but the only thing I will say here is even though I'm picking LSU, I'm a little bit concerned. I don't think Mississippi State's offense is anywhere as good, but I also think that LSU's secondary is way, way overhyped, and I don't know how good Derek Stingley is because I haven't done a full film breakdown on him and watched a bunch of his games, but I'm going to say this. They did not play well against UCLA, and UCLA does not have, like, the greatest weapons of all time. So, LSU needs to stop giving teams false hope. So, that's all I got to say.
I agree completely. So, our next game is Missouri at Boston College. I'm taking Missouri in this game. I was going back and forth on this one until, I think, last week or the week before. Dracovic goes out with the injury. He's the Boston College quarterback for listeners who don't know that. He's the Boston College quarterback. And I just can't see Boston College getting the win in this game without him. I think he is a huge part of that offense. So I'm taking Missouri in this one.
I agree completely. I was a big fan of Missouri coming into the season, and I still am. I think Connor Bazelak and that offense will be able to lead Missouri over the Boston College Eagles. Heading into our next game, this is a game where I just simply don't know why you disagree with me on this. I got Northwestern over the Ohio Bobcats, not Ohio State, Ohio. Northwestern's just simply the better team. I have no idea why you disagree with me on this. Let's go.
Ohio is not a bad team. They're in the MAC. They're a pretty solid team. I think they're actually were projected by Athlon to win their division in the MAC. And another reason is that Northwestern offense under Hunter Johnson hasn't moved the ball at all. They just got creamed by Duke last week. I believe they lost like 34-21, and they scored a late touchdown to make the score look a little bit better. So I just think Ohio is going to come in, get the, I guess you would call it an upset over a sorry Northwestern team. Our next game, we have SMU at TCU. I'm taking TCU. They're just the more talented team here. And on top of that, it's a home game for them. I just expect them to have a big game offensively. Now, it is the Big 12, so I'm not so sure about how they're going to play defensively, but they're definitely going to have a good offensive showing, and I just think they have too many weapons for the SMU Mustangs to cover.
Yeah, I completely agree here. I think that TCU is just simply the better program. And even though SMU has had some uptick in recruiting and in play, in a miracle win there against Louisiana Tech, I feel bad for those guys with the last couple of games being thrillers that they ended up on the losing end. But I'm going to pick the TCU Horned Frogs in this one. Up next game, you have a Big Ten rivalry, a Texas rivalry, Texas Tech at Texas. Matt Wells, the coach for Texas Tech, I believe that's his name. He's just in over his head. He's not that great of a coach. I got the Texas Longhorns. Even though I wasn't big on them in the Arkansas game, I definitely think that they're going to beat Texas Tech.
I agree completely. I think Texas is the better team. And they're finally, I believe, going back to Casey Thompson at quarterback. He's much better than Hudson Card, gives them a much better opportunity to win. And I think Texas Tech just doesn't have enough to keep up with this Texas offense. Moving into our next game, we have San Jose State at Western Michigan. I took Western Michigan. They've played well. I know you picked Illinois State, I believe, in week two, and Western Michigan comes out and beats them 28-0. Been just coming off last week, they beat Pitt at Pitt 44-41. So they put up some points against a solid FBS team, Power 5 team. So I just think that, especially in San Jose State, lost so much from that team last year. And it's, I know they had a great team last year, but it's so hard for the smaller schools to replace that talent. So I just think Western Michigan has too much.
Yeah, I agree here. I think that even though San Jose State had a great year last year, I'm just going to pick Western Michigan here. They played decently well against Illinois State. Mostly Illinois State just doesn't have the offensive talent to compete. Their defense was pretty solid. I know they allowed 28 points, but 14 of those was in the fourth quarter, if I remember correctly. But quickly heading on to our next game, we have Toledo at Ball State. Basically, both teams kind of suck, in my opinion. Well, it kind of. Toledo lost to Colorado State, a bad team, 22-6. I don't know whether somebody was missing in that game that I don't know about, or something, but I'm just going to pick the home team here. I'm going to go with the Ball State Cardinals, are they? Yeah, Cardinals.
I disagree. I think both these teams are solid teams in the. I know Ball State's in the MAC. I believe Toledo's also in the MAC.
Toledo
But
is
they're
off.
pretty solid teams, especially where they're at. Like, Toledo's supposed to win like 8 or 9 games this year. Ball State's supposed to win their division, maybe even repeat as MAC champion as they did last year. But I do think Ball State is the better team. You said both these teams suck. Well, Toledo had a Notre Dame fooled there for 3 quarters in about 10 minutes. But moving on to our next game, we have Washington State at Utah. Both of these teams aren't very good. We thought Utah was going to be good coming into the game or coming into the season. I still think they're better than Washington State, but they were overhyped looking back on it now. The only problem I see for them defensively is Max Borgie from Washington State, the running back, very much like Christian McCaffrey. And I think he's going to give the Utah defense problems, but I don't think it's going to be enough for Washington State to get the win.
Okay, so I agree. I think Utah's just a better team here defensively. Offense, we'll see the firepower that they have. We'll see. But Washington likes the short pass game, so we'll see what happens there. I have the Utah Utes winning that one. Heading into the next game, you got Colorado at Arizona State. I got the Arizona State Sun Devils, even though I got burned by last week's pick, including Lincoln too. Both of us were going against the crowd and picked Arizona State over BYU, but Arizona State did not look great in that game. I'll be honest, I did not watch any of it live. I watched a little bit of the replay. But I got the Arizona State Sun Devils. I just don't think Colorado has the juice offensively to beat Arizona State.
I agree with you completely. Arizona State, I expected them to win the Pac-12. I thought they would. They played really well. But I'm not, I just, I'm not very high on Colorado at all. I know they just got destroyed by Minnesota 30-0, who was missing their best offensive threat and a top 10 running back in the country with Muhammad Ibrahim. So I think the Sun Devils win big. Next up, we got Louisville at Florida State. Who are you taking in this game?
So I got the Louisville in this game. I'm sorry. I know Notre Dame struggled against them, but Florida State sucks. I got Louisville in this game. They're just better. And then I'm sorry. I can't talk too much about that game. Then we got Kansas
I
at Duke.
agree. I
It
agree. Louisville's much better than Florida State. I think Louisville gets the win here.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot that you didn't talk. I'm so sorry.
No,
So,
you're fine.
and then we get the battle of the two of some of the worst teams in the country, Power Five wise, Kansas at Duke. I got the Kansas Jayhawks here. To be honest, this is me just liking Lance Leopold more than David Cutcliffe. No offense to his quarterback, guru job, but I just like him a little bit more. So I'm gonna pick the
Yeah, I agree. I'm taking Kansas. I watched that Kansas Coastal game, and Kansas moved the ball pretty well on Coastal. They scored 22 points, I believe, in the game. They had some big plays down the field of passing the ball. Duke has Mateo Durant fifth on the college football rushing board in yards. I believe he has like 370 something. But I just don't think that Duke is going to win this game running the ball when Kansas showed that they have a deep threat. That they can threaten you over the top deep against a pretty good Coastal defense. And I don't think Duke's defense is anywhere near the level of Coastal's. I think Kansas wins big time.
Well, that
Next
pretty
up,
much. Or go ahead.
we have Kentucky at South Carolina. So who are you taking in this game?
So I got the Kentucky Wildcats, same as you there. Mainly, I just don't like South Carolina. That's nothing against South Carolina. I just don't think that they're a very good football team this year. So I got Kentucky here.
I agree completely. I like Kentucky in this game. I just think they have too much offense for South Carolina. And then just to mention it one more time for you guys, in our big three games, we had Clemson at NC State. We both took Clemson, Notre Dame, Wisconsin. I took Wisconsin. CSN took Notre Dame. And then for A&M and Arkansas, we both take Arkansas.
So that pretty much wraps it up for today. Make sure that you go ahead and subscribe to both of our YouTube channels. If you do not know that, that is Chicago Sports Network and American Football Network on YouTube. Just type it into the search box and we should be the first or second channel there. Make sure that you are following it and hit the notification bell if you can do so on whatever podcast app you are listening on, Spotify, Google Podcast, Anchor, Breaker, blah, 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 whatever podcast site you use. Make sure that you are following us or subscribing to us, whatever that is. And then one final thing, this is a Pick'em challenge, like Lincoln kind of mentioned before in the podcast. We are tied up here, so this is really starting to get kind of fun. Because I had a three-game lead going into week two, then Lincoln tied me up, and then we tied last week. So this is a big thing for both of us. We got $10 on the line here, so we're really excited to see who can pull out the victory here. But that pretty much wraps up today's podcast. Make sure that you guys are subscribed or following or whatever, and can't wait to see you next week. See ya.